The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Start to read the third away, Northwest London, Yud Gimel Sivan, Top Shi and Pei, Friday, 5th June, Rabbi Hibby Cohen, Parshas Nosei. Yivarechecho Hashem v'yishmerecho, Yoyer Hashem ponov eilecho v'chinecho, Yisra Hashem ponov eilecho v'yotzein lecho shomeh. Sukkim that we're very familiar with, those of us who have the minhag will see this beautiful book tonight when we bench our children around the Shabbos table. For those in our control, we receive this bracha daily from the Kohanim. And for us to make chutzpah, it's a couple of times a year. And this bracha originates in this week's parasha, just before Chamishi, where Aaron Abonov was instructed to be Mevorech Klal Yisrael. And the prophet says, the Tomu es Shemi al Bnei Yisrael v'ani Avorechem. They shall place my name upon Klal Yisrael, and I will bless them. The Medrash tells us that the next Sukkim of Ayni B'yim Kalos Moshe V'hotim Et HaMishon, that Sholem, the bracha of Sholem, which the Yidin just received, that's what brought down the Ashras of Shemina, the divine presence, onto the Mishkan. Seems to be that Sholem is quite a powerful tool. Furthermore, the Medrash tells us a little later in Bamidbar, that the finale of Berachas Kohanim, the bracha of Yosin Lecha Shalom, says the Medrash Loma, She'ein HaBracha Yismorim Et Klum, meaning that without Shalom, the other brachas, the first two brachas, will be worthless. Wow, you see the kirch of Shalom. What does Shalom mean? Does Shalom mean peace? And let's add to this intrigue. We all know that the final Mishnah in Shas Mishnayot, the last mission in Uktin, Remotza Kodesh Boroku Klimaxis Brachal Yisrael Ela Sholem, meaning without the Kli, without the vessel of Sholem, no brachas can be contained. A Yid that doesn't have Sholem can't contain blessing. But we all want bracha in our life. We all want blessing in our life. We must determine what is this Sholem? What's this deciding factor? What's this vessel that will contain all this bracha and all that we have in store? If you think through our daily tefillah, the end of Shemoneh Esrei on the Mevorech Es Amei Yisrael, Bat Shalom, the end of Es Kriyat Shema in the evening with Apeiros Kikas Shalom. Shalom is a permeating theme in our Yiddish life. What is it, Shalom? Is Shalom simply peace, as it's commonly translated? No rioting in New York, is that the Shalom? Is it simply Shalom peace that will have the ability to be shared with the Shechina on the Mishkan and Klal Yisrael? And let's explore Shalom a little bit further. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Hillel Omer, Heavenly Talmidov Shel Aaron, Oyev Shalom, Gerede Shalom. Oyev Tabuyev, Omekarvan Lateo. Loshen, this expression of Hevei, is a command, an expression we don't often find in Pirkei Avos. The other Mishnayos, you see later on in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, Kol mi sheyesh bo yishlesh dvarim, whoever has these three virtues of Ayin Teva, Ruach Menucha, v'nefesh Shela, Tumi Tamidot Shem et Avraham Avinu, that this expression of Hevei, Tumi Tamidot, Shel Aaron, Oyev Shalom, is quite a strong command. And furthermore, ask the Nesiva Shalom, Hillel, who as we know was from the greatest Tanoim, who was said about Hillel, that some of his Talmidim was Zeicher to Ashurat HaShchena like Moshe Rabbeinu. So he starts with Mutashmi, he starts here in the Mishnah, the Pirkei Avos, ideas that are going to continue to guide Klal Yisrael for generations to come, with a seemingly simple idea of loving peace and pursuing peace. Is there nothing more important than peace? Is this what Hillel wants to tell us? This is the first idea he wants to tell us? Love peace? And there are many more references Kisholim and his powerful curse, his powerful strength. In fact, there's even a chapter in the Sefer Derech Eretz called Perek HaSholem. Each Mishnah there, each Mishnah starts, Gadol Hu HaSholem. And the Mishnah says, Omer Bishua, Bishua says, Gadol Hu HaSholem, Sheshmoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Sholem. The name of Hashem is Sholem. We call it Perek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the preferred name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is it with Sholem? In a few parashiyos of time, we're going to read parashiyos of Pinchas. Pinchas is given Sholem. L'chein Emma, you're hitting me late in night, Felici Sholem. And this is the greatest bracha that I was given to him, Sholem. What is Sholem? And what's his kayak? Now we know, yes, the kayak of Sholem translated as peace in the kayak of Machlokes. We know that we find that the first piece of Mikdash was destroyed, only after Kali Yisrael stooped. It's an all-time low of Avodah Zarah, Shlichus Solomon, in our earth. And the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the second temple was destroyed, because of Sinas Chinam, which is seemingly a lie, just a prohibition material of the existence of Chicha B'Uvavecha. And boom, just from one lie, that was going to send us into Dolly. Seems to be Machloikas and lack of Shalom is a very strong and a very important part. It explains the Nesiv of Sholem and the Nekudah of Machlekes and the Nekudah of Peace. Because the Tachlis Abriya is to realize that Ein Oid Mubadeh, there's nothing but Hashem. Everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everything is Hashem, is God. And yet, we all seem different from another. So we're all in unity, all here for the same purpose that we're part of and focus to Ein Oid Mubadeh. The Mala Aras Deos Hashem, as we all will know, Ein Oid Mubadeh. And that's what Sholem is. That all will recognize that together we're in unity with one mission, one purpose, one goal of serving Hashem and recognizing that Ein Oid Mubadeh. Machlokes in opposition is that I'm different to you and opposed to you. And if we can't find unity among them, and the truth don't pursue any of that, which in very essence is that we're all living for one purpose and one goal in unity. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We know He's one, Elokeinu, Echad. What's the Echad? We know Hashem's one. The Echad is unity. Now, how do we get there? And how can each and every one of us become a true Nachas Bracha for Klal Yisrael to become and to be, as a whole, a true Nachas Bracha? The Avraham Ganachovsky, the famed Rosh Yeshiva of Chabin, was a Gaon HaGaonim, and he was Nachas on every Chumrah, every stringency, yet had the most sensitive heart to a Kaddish. The story is told that once Avraham went to visit someone at a psychiatric ward in Yerushalayim. Upon entering, he noticed the neighbor of his waiting in the waiting room. Upon seeing him, he saw this fellow and clearly the fellow was very embarrassed. Avraham, without thinking twice, dashed over to him and requested that he shouldn't tell anyone. He just said, please, don't tell anyone that you saw me here. Don't tell anyone. And the fellow said, sure, no problem, no problem. And he calmed down. He said, yeah, don't worry, I won't tell anyone about you. If you don't tell anyone about me. When asked after by his Talmud, who was with him at the time, how did he have the clarity and speed of mind to say that to him? He walked in to this ward, he sees someone, and he said to him, straight away without thinking, don't tell anyone that you saw me. How did he have this clarity and speed of mind to say this? The Rebbe answers that when a person is in danger, he has supernatural total strength and ability. He says, I was in danger of embarrassing you. I was in danger. And I got that adrenaline to rush over to him and say to him, sure, please don't kill anyone. Please don't kill anyone. That's for someone who every bone and every fiber is directed to one thing, the voice of Hashem and the truth there. This is what we mean when we say the Rachel Dar Sinan, the Congress of Israel Shalom. All avenues are with Shalom. Shalom needs to be well-rounded and well-grounded. This is the idea of the warning to Shalom. The Rachel Dar Sinan, the Congress of Israel Shalom. The foreign state of Shalom on a personal level, the Chaim Kaufman book writing in the Kushim and other foreign, that this Shalom which is recognized before Hashem as a key maxim is when a person is Shalom, wholesome in his midah and pleasant in his ways, as we mentioned, the Rachel Dar Sinan. He's pleasant in his ways with people to a point that people just being around him catch the positivity and want to generate to others what you generated to them. Part of this training is when a person is perfectly aligned in all of his restraints. They shouldn't have in his heart opposing ideas that someone can sometimes pull him here and pull him there. Another mashalim is when all one's restraints are in perfect conformity. And one should automatically recognize in any given situation how to handle it based on his aligned vision of the ultimate vision, the Rosh Hashem. When his very identity is this is what I am, but automatically everything switches towards that. But when things are grey and unclear is when a war breaks out and is pulled in many directions. Mokoma is when two restrainers are opposing each other. When someone is just, for example, someone is just about sexist, like the man of kindness, he hasn't got gevurah, he hasn't got strength to decide and make a decision, and he just acts upon his midah for chesed, then he will be homeless and penniless very, very soon, because if he acts with chesed for giving all his money to people, and giving everything he has to people, he has nothing left. When a person who directs all his midah, all his character traits, in the right direction, Baruch Hashem, knows that he needs to live and support his family, and at the same time gets his answer. That's what other Nashalom is. When all his, let's call them military abilities, so to say, are meshubad and directed to one rostrum. There's one ultimate rostrum which is serving Hashem, Avodas Hashem, and all is in the rostrum which are in the restraints, which are subjugated to that, all going in the same direction. Like a band, like a musical band, each one has its function within the band to play a beautiful piece of music, but only if each musician follows the choir master will it be beautiful music. So what we're saying is, Shalom is a person, is a man, is a woman, is someone who's well rounded and well grounded, accomplished and achieved. Back to the Rambam and Chosky, who really was the melech in this, was the king in this, was a Talmud of the Rambam and Chosky, a story I read recently. This Talmud is a student of the Rambam who had learned all the years from the Rambam how to direct his mind and his function towards one thing and to have complete ability over his medicine and character traits. This Talmud had set out with his family of eight, on a trip to the north during the summer holidays, about a couple of years ago in Israel, in Yerushalayim. And on the way, they decided they're going to stop up in Netanya to have lunch and just to relax a few hours until they continue on their journey towards
Kol Halashon,
the north of Eretz Yisrael. As they sit down to have lunch, one of the children say, Abba and Michal, I'll share the team. Daddy, I need the bathroom. Look at the table. And the father says, yeah, sure, come. He looks around and he sees they're in the beach town. And it isn't much. There's nowhere to go. And he walks towards a restaurant. He sees it's not kosher. He doesn't want to make a chilul Hashem. They're walking into a non-kosher restaurant. So he decides to go to a nearby kosher restaurant. And where there he's going to ask them if he can use the bathroom. He looks into the kosher restaurant and he sees it's not a very religious place. And he sees the waiter, again, there's no one from in the restaurant at all. There's a cashier, but the situation there wasn't very clear. And he asks the waiter by the door, he says, is it okay if we use the bathroom? He's very quick, he's running in, running out. Is it okay if we use the bathroom? And the waiter looks and says, you know what? Just run in and run out again. It's fine. Because he realizes this is not a an open home, which restaurant. It's not a place where there's a preaching Haredim coming in using the bathroom. So he runs in with his child, and on the way out, as he's about to leave, suddenly the head waiter, a man in his early 40s, Yaron, turns around to him and says, "Excuse me, hello." And he says, "Yes." "Lana toilet, where are you off to?" He says, "We just use the bathroom." And he starts screaming at them. "Nazar, so you're so idiot here that's walking into a restaurant using the bathroom, all these Haredi walking in there just using the bathroom, never buying food." The man turns around and he catches this waitress, the one that let him in originally. He catches her eye and he turns around without thinking to the head waiter. And he says to him, "Sir, we have come to have lunch in the restaurant. Is it okay to use the bathroom before we eat, before we dine?" And the fellow quickly, head waiter quickly changed his course. And he says, of course. And he says, sorry, I just thought we could use the bathroom. Of course it's fine to use the bathroom if you're going to come and meet me. How many people can you fit? And he says, it's me and my wife and our 8 children. And he shows them the table for 10. And he says, Bemet, I'm so sorry that I had these feelings in a shout for you. And with that, he sends his daughter outside to go and fetch the rest of the children. The children have never had this before in their lives. They've never had a situation. They've never been to a restaurant. Especially now on the way to the summer holidays, they've been waiting for all year, where every penny is accounted for. They're going to now just splash all that money in the restaurant and have nothing left for the rest of their vacation, the rest of their holiday. They're very surprised. But they walk in smiling for the first time in a restaurant. They look around, wide eyes, which align the children. And as we sit down, the father's looking through the menu, furiously searching for the cheapest item on the menu, which is some chips and some other items for the children, trying to make a balance, so it shouldn't look stupid. And as he's sitting there, he notices quite a big balagan, quite a situation going on in the kitchen. You see, the family, they're all beginning to look around and look in the kitchen, and they see a lot going on. People shouting and talking and this and that. And then he sees the waiter and another fellow next to him who looks clearly like the boss of the restaurant, looking towards them with a big platter of ice creams and waffles. And on the waffle, on the center waffle, is a sparkler. Like on this for a birthday. You start them, they're ever looking around to see where they're heading to, but they're going, making the beeline straight to them. And as he approaches them, he smiles. The head waiter, the one who screamed earlier, the head waiter and his boss, they smile. And they say, "This is for you." And this family looks at us. No. Ain't for your mulet. The whole rest is wrong family. No. This is for you. Let us tell you something that happened in the last 15 minutes. The boss now takes over and he starts talking. He says, "I was sitting up in my office and I noticed, looking outside my office, the waitress, the one who stands by the front door or the entrance to the restaurant, was crying. She was crying uncontrollably. And I called her and I said, "What's wrong?" I said, "What's wrong?" And the waitress said, she couldn't compose herself, she said, "I need to tell you something." And she said, "What? Tell me." And he said, "Less than 15 minutes ago, a Haredi man walked in with his family. And as he went to the toilet, I allowed him to go to the toilet. And upon returning from the toilet, I saw the head waiter, who is clearly anti-Haredi in some of his views, heading towards him. I'm shouting at him. I realized then and there that it's the end of my job, because there is a policy here in the restaurant not to allow people to use the bathroom if they're not using the restaurant. And I realized I let that policy down. And I was thinking in my mind, what am I going to do? I'm going to be thrown out of the restaurant. That's it, end of my life. And then I heard a conversation going on between this from you. And the head, my head waiter. And he said to him, after catching my eye, he said to him, sir, you have come to dine, you have come to eat. And the head waiter changed course of his action, and he found him a table. And he said, I realized at that moment, what care someone has for a fellow Jew. Never has someone given me a feeling that I'm worth something, just not to embarrass me. And he obviously realized the precarious position I was in, I could lose my job. He cares for me. This fully cares for this girl, this woman, this waiter, this waitress there. And he says, this boss continued speaking, and said, I was so touched by this. I came downstairs to see your family. And everyone in the kitchen asked what I'm doing downstairs. And I told them the story. And not one, not two, not three, but every one of our kitchen staff were sitting there crying. This is 5 minutes ago. So we decided to treat you with this. With this to show you how you touched our heart. This is Shlomo. This is the reason he was taught by his Rebbe, Rav Ben Akhotsky, how to balance the Nadal Lachav Namokho and the Nadal Lachav Erev, and to take everything in mind, and the speed of his thought, to turn around and say, no, what are you doing here? When he knew that his deficit afterwards was going to be huge, it's not someone who could afford a restaurant. And actually, the story ends that when he came to pay, he came over with his credit card to pay his head waiter, and the guy said to him, we don't take money. And after a long time, he kept it to me, Malachi, we don't take money from angels. And he said, no, we're not taking money. I'm giving you half price on your next visit. And with that, he sent them off with shalom. And again, the kibbutz Hashem that was made that day was incredible. But this is the need to understand what has to be done in each moment, in each rega of a rega. There is Eretz Kodmah Torah. And this is to know the true balance in Avodas Hashem. As we mentioned, the Rachayat Al-Chinam, the ways of the Torah are pleasant. The Chumash sees the Torah shown in all the avenues of his peace. And never would the Torah allow us to step on someone's toes. This is the idea of shalom. Just one more short story. There was an idea, again, of Eretz Shalom, the Rebbe Shalom, and someone who just cared for the clout at the same time knew his boundaries. There's a youth from London, going back to say 50 years ago, who was an editor, and he had a column in one of the papers at the time, and he took the opportunity to hack upon some of the Satmar Rebbe of Yerush, some of his shifts and visions against Zionism and other things, and he used to advocate Zionism. And it went on for many, many years, and the Satmar Rebbe was aware of his column, and it disturbed the Satmar Kehillah here in London tremendously. But life continued until 12 years later, the youth became ill. And he became ill with a disease which the doctors here in the UK couldn't deal with. And they advised him to go to America, so the doctors there were more advanced. And often he went to America, traveled to America. But as the day, one has to have insurance. And he didn't have insurance. He had to go privately to the hospitals in America. And the bill started mounting up. And he was told that he wants the final and pivotal operation. It's going to cost him $100,000. Money he didn't have. He's completely stinted. He has emptied his doctor's account. And he decided he's going to have to do this to save his life. He's got another option. And he heads out collecting for a fairly reason. But he's not making ends meet. This is a time where people are still trying to get together the businesses. And someone advised him, says, why don't you head to the Satmar Rebbe? He's someone who's helped countless individuals. Ask him for some money, I'm sure he can help you from the community. And he said, Satmar Rebbe, you know who my relationship with Satmar Rebbe? And he started telling him how he was spoken negatively against Satmar Rebbe. And the man says, don't worry, the Satmar Rebbe loves every week. Every century he goes to the Satmar Rebbe. And again, he says he's got no choice, he's going to die, he's going to get his operation, and off he goes to the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe welcomes him in with open arms, listens to his story, And if Christ within, here's how it is. And he says, how much do you need, Justin? How much do you need? He tells him that the amount is up to $90,000 now he needs. And the Rebbe pulls out from his drawer $90,000. He puts all the money together from all the kibbutz which he has, and he opens the safe, and he gets into the tree. He picks his good shalom. The guy gives him the height, the Rebbe tells him. And if he couldn't believe it, he just said, if you know who I am, and the Rebbe says, yes. See, I'm the one from London who had a column against you and pointed it out against you. I know. And the guy gives him the height, see a shrine on the Rebbe said to him. If he couldn't believe it, he left the house, and his mind was just swirling. And as he's heading down the street, he sees the Rebbe's gabbai running after him. And he says, I knew that. I thought it was too good to be true. And he turns around and says, yes. And he pulls up $10, says, the Rebbe found another $10. He says, look, if you go buy yourself something nicely. And he's just blown away. He doesn't believe he's someone who's always true shalom, very good shalom. Someone who knew where his boundaries lie, what means true shalom. And what does this mean for us practically? We all want bracha in our life. I mean, as we said, entry must be bracha in our shalom. So let's set our vision and realign our focus. We should ask ourselves daily, are we the rachel darchi man? Are we pleasant? Are all our avenues, all our to the serve of shalom? We all want to desperately need bracha and klali yisrael right now in this time. And as a whole, we need bracha. We want Mashiach to come, and each and every one of us individually needs bracha in our life, except in all areas. And this could be the secret to an abundance of bracha, abundance of shalom, and the bringing of Mashiach to Canaan. And here we are made of Amen and the Shabbos.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.